Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. After 5 years heading the Boston School Committee, Chair Michael O'Neill has decided to step aside. O'Neill will no longer lead the panel, but he will remain a school committee member under the leadership of his successor, Michael Leconto. O'Neill's move comes at a critical time for Boston schools, which have just weathered some controversies, most recently the plans to change school start times. Well, joining us in studio to talk about that and other BPS issues is Michael O'Neill. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Deborah.
So in the 5 years that you've been chair, you've worked under three superintendents and two mayors. Why did you decide that now was the time to step down from a leadership post on the committee?
Well, I think exactly for that reason. We now have stability both at the city and the district level. And it was an honor to lead the committee for 5 years. We went through some important changes, but now that Mayor Walsh is beginning his second term and now that Superintendent Chang is 2.5 years into his 5-year contract, I felt the stability was there, that it was time for that to happen. When I combine that with being very busy in my day job at Agency 451 and having two stepchildren who are doing semesters abroad, it was time for the family, for work, and for the school committee, for someone else to take that leadership role.
So it wasn't like it's time for Mayor Walsh and Superintendent Chang to have more of a say here and let their folks be in charge, because you were really appointed under former Mayor Menino.
I was, but I was also very honored to be appointed to a new 4-year term last January by Mayor Walsh. And I've worked very closely with he and his team for the past 4 years. And I would not have stayed in the role if I did not believe completely in what he was doing and the support that he was giving us for the Boston Public Schools.
Now, you, I believe, were the only BPS graduate on the committee. Is that right?
We have one other as well. Ms. Jerry Robinson is a graduate of the old Girls Latin, now Boston Latin Academy.
Mm-hmm. How does that affect decision-making on the committee when someone's actually been through the Boston Public School system?
Well, it has been a few years since I graduated, as you can see by the few gray hairs. So I do try to be cognizant that things are very different. But certain memories do last. I went from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade, both at the Joseph P. Mann and Jamaica Plain and Boston Latin. And that does shape some of the things in how you view the district and how we can continue to improve.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that have come up, particularly the controversy most recently about school start times. There were supposed to be changes to several schools in the district, dozens of schools, but parents and civil rights groups and local leaders got very upset about how quickly that went through the committee, unanimously through the committee. And then that changed. So the committee decided, and Tommy Chang, the superintendent, decided that he would take back that plan to change the start times. Why do you think the committee moved too quickly to approve the changes in the first place?
Great question, because this has been an area that a lot of folks have focused in on. And we have to remember the difference between policy and implementation. So the school committee is a policy-making board, and we set the policy for the district. We hire a superintendent to implement the policy. We approve a budget that allows that policy to be reached, and we evaluate the superintendent on the policy goals. So one of the biggest complaints we've had from parents the past few years is about start time. Folks didn't like the lateness of the hour that a lot of the elementary students were getting out. And we're concerned also about high school students, that they should be starting later. All the scientific studies show that high school students should be starting later.
Right.
So we originally looked at this in December 2016, put it on hold for a year while the district went out, held a number of community meetings, did a survey, et cetera, came back. We approved the policy. The policy that we approved said the majority of our secondary school students should start after 8 a.m. The majority of our elementary school students should finish before 4 p.m. That we should protect our most fragile students, and we should reinvest back into the district. That policy still holds, and we've actually received a lot of compliments from parents on that policy. The concern was over the implementation. And Superintendent Chang put out a proposal to the community that shifted around a lot of the start times. And we heard four main pieces of feedback from that proposal, that implementation plan. The first was concern by parents who moved to a 7:15 a.m. start time for elementary. And secondarily, the result of the end of day was now we'd have some schools end about 1:15,
right,
and what that means to families. The second was concern over schools that changed more than 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so some went from 9:30 to 7:15, et cetera.
Right. But because we're limited, I just want to get your reaction. How should it have been done differently?
Well, I think what the superintendent did, we had a number of community meetings the week after a long school committee meeting. And the school committee members attended. We were across the district and listened. And what we did was work with the superintendent. He put it on hold for a year. Mm-hmm. And he's going to work on a plan that hopefully will allow schools to have more input into it, maybe somewhat similar to the student assignment plan of where parents pick their first choice, second choice, third choice. Is there a way we can work on schools saying what their preference is? Everyone wants 8 to 8:30, but not every school can have it. So what's their second choice? Is it to be an earlier community or a later community? Mm-hmm. Let's build support on a school-by-school basis and then rerun the run the proposal.
So the ideals are the same, that the times need to change, but everybody's going to need to compromise because there just isn't enough a way to give everyone what they will probably want.
Well, we're already spending $110 million on transportation. And quite frankly, every dollar we spend on transportation is dollars that we're not spending in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will continue to look at this, but it's going to be a ways out now, and we're going to have a lot more opportunity for community involvement, and that's the right thing to have happen.
Was this controversy over school start times a factor at all in your decision to leave as chair of the school committee?
I will be facetious and say yes, it was, because I originally planned to announce it at the December 14th meeting and didn't announce it because that was the one that went till 1:02 in the morning because we had so many parents there. I had actually decided this with my family during the summer, and it was a promise I made to them during the summer.
Mm. You know, there are folks who said that they haven't seen a mobilization of Boston parents like this one in years, many, many years. Were you surprised by the reaction to this?
No, we knew that there was not going to be one solution that was going to satisfy everyone. We knew that from the surveys. Even on an individual school basis, there was no one time that everyone wanted. And so we knew that there would be concerns. The amount of feedback was a bit surprising, but that's good. I'm not concerned about this. These are parents who want to engage with Boston Public Schools. Right now, we have about 75% of the school-age children in Boston choose Boston Public Schools. We want more. I'm a businessman. We want larger share of market. Mm-hmm. And if parents are engaged in fighting for the schools, that's a good thing.
You want more alums on that school committee.
Absolutely. Well, we want more parents choosing Boston Public Schools first. And the fact that folks are willing to fight for their schools and their communities, that's a good thing.
Another controversy that happened while you were leading the school committee was this audit, and Boston paid the IRS about $1 million after a federal audit of 16 schools showed mismanagement, poor record keeping, like paying employee stipends under the table and failing to deduct Medicare taxes from payroll. What's your reaction to that?
Well, the overall city payment to the IRS was $1 million, but for the Boston Public Schools, it was actually only $32,000. Of which about $2,000 was penalties and $30,000 was back taxes. This was the IRS, as part of an overall city audit, looked at about 16 accounts in schools. The school activity accounts that headmasters and principals keep to put trip fees in and things like that, and then to pay out the bus providers for trips. And so, as an example, East Boston High School paid $600 to Paul Revere Transportation for a bus trip. But they didn't collect a 1099 from them because they believed it was approved vendor of the city. The city must have the 1099.
Right.
Well, that was a $100 fee that was charged. Mm-hmm. So that, and then they also paid, the school leaders paid some teachers through this account for being tutors on exams or proctors on exams or coaches or that type of thing. And the IRS said, you have to pay the withholding fees on it. I think when the superintendent was first given a heads up by the city, he did the appropriate thing. He jumped in immediately and stopped all the student activity accounts across the district. He sent the school leaders a letter saying that this issue had been flagged. He did training in August for about 300 school leaders, lead teachers, et cetera. And then it was only at the end of the IRS audit when the city finally settled that it came to light. And he made one mistake. He did not mention it to me as chair of the school committee.
Well, isn't that a big mistake? And also, you know, this didn't come out until after the election, essentially. So there are many folks who are concerned about the timing of when the results of that audit became clear.
Yes. And at the same token, the superintendent stood in front of about 300 to 400 school leaders. He put it in a memo that as a result in June of last year, as a result of an IRS audit, the following findings have happened. This was not something he was trying to hide. He was trying to move immediately when he saw an issue and correct it. In retrospect, he should have told me. He should have informed the committee. He and I and the vice chair, Dean Coleman, discussed it with him. He apologized. We accepted his apology. We move forward. Hmm. I have to say, as superintendent of schools in Boston, I'm not sure which job is more complex, that or mayor of Boston.
Right.
It's a moving job with a lot of parts. And he's working as hard as he can, and I think he handled it appropriately. But I did accept his apology for not informing us, and we move forward.
Biggest challenge facing the school committee in the year ahead?
I would say three things. We're going to be looking at grade configuration. Right now, we have approximately 20 configurations in the system. We have schools that are K-5, K-6, K-8. We have middle schools. We have high schools that are 9 through 12, 7 through 12. We have other schools that are K-3. All of those various configurations create confusion for parents and create a lot of transitions. And when we look at when we're losing students, it's during those transition points because parents want certainty. And so we're looking at cutting down those number of configurations.
Maybe no middle school.
Yes, we may be a system that is predominantly K-6 and 7-12 and K-8, 9-12, because parents do want options. Mm. You talk to parents of a middle schooler, some parents don't want their child in a high school when they're in 7th grade. Other parents don't want their child with kindergartens when they're in 7th grade. So we need to have a range of options in the district, but what we have right now is too confusing, creates too many transitions, and quite frankly causes us to lose students when parents want certainty.
All right, Michael O'Neill, we're out of time. Former chair of the Boston School Committee, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Deborah.